Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello, everyone, and blessed be God forever.
Amen. And you can probably hear in Father's voice that he's still ailing. We're going to try and rough it out today. If he's in the middle of talking and all of a sudden goes silent, he either put himself on mute or we put him on mute because of a cough attack. But hopefully we'll get through the hour. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It was great to see those that were able to make it on Sunday. Another beautiful event. Raised some much-needed money. Got to hear from Kathleen. And most importantly, got to see a lot of the faces that provide the support that we need here at this great Catholic Radio apostolate. So, again, thank you for all that you do. And just ask that you continue to do what you can in order to keep this going. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. Until at least 5 o'clock p.m., sometimes 6 o'clock p.m. But if you're going to come down, make sure you come down prior to that 5 o'clock. And if you do come, get in touch with Father and I ahead of time, and we can arrange to meet you over at church. You can visit the Cathedral of South Philadelphia at St. Gabriel's Church, 29th and Dickinson, in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. All right, I think that's all we have in the way of announcements. So why don't we get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of a triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Colby.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls, when we go to the take the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if, we'd love to hear from you if God's touched you in a particular way over the last few weeks, and you'd be willing to share it with our listeners. We are currently in the third week of Easter, not quite halfway through the Easter season. And a few saints in the calendar this week. On the 23rd, if it hadn't been the third Sunday of Easter, you may have celebrated the Mass for St. George or St. Adalbert. On Monday the 24th, it was Fidelis of Sigmaringen. Yesterday, the 25th, one of the evangelists, St. Mark. On Friday, the 28th, Peter Chanel and St. Louis de Montfort. And on Saturday, the 29th, St. Catherine of Siena. And we talked a bit last night about St. Mark, and we'll continue that conversation today. When I say last night, at our Calyx meeting. But St. Mark, of course, was one of the evangelists. Not a whole lot known about him, and we try to surmise some things from what's written about him in the New Testament. Most of what we know about him comes from the Acts of the Apostles in verse 12, when Peter escaped from prison. He went to the home of Mark's mother. He also went on a journey with Paul and Barnabas. And for whatever reason, Mark returns alone to Jerusalem, and then Paul wouldn't let him come on the second journey. And but then at some point, there must have been a reconciliation, because then Mark goes to visit Paul in prison. So, you know, one of the other, or two of the other stories that we hear, and Father has mentioned to me in the past, and that's the only reason I know about them, of course. Mark's being, gospel being the first in the New Testament, also the shortest, but Mark seems to input himself in a couple of scenes in that gospel, the first one being in the agony of the garden, where there's a young man that's naked and wrapped in a sheet, and apparently the guards pull the sheet from him, and he runs away naked. It makes absolutely no sense to have that as part of the scene in the agony of the garden, other than Mark placing himself there. And then there's also the scene at the tomb, where there's a young man again clothed in white, and is this Mark's way of inputting himself into the scene again? But I've been hanging out with Father now for some 14 years, and anytime the name of St. Mark comes up, or St. Mark's Gospel, he refers people to read it, read that one first. That is the shortest. If you sit down, I think Father said he reads it on the beach in 44 minutes. It might take you a little bit longer than that, but a great place to get started in Scripture. So that's what I have on Mark, Father.
Very good, Ken. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head where he puts himself in the scene in the agony in the garden. It's believed in tradition that he was certainly that young man, and he was a young man. He was in his mother's house where they had the Last Supper. He wakes up because he hears the apostles singing hymns on the way to the agony of the garden, going through that Kidron Valley, you know, that Valley of Death, tombstones, the cemetery, full moon. You know, the apostles are sound asleep there, and Jesus is saying that prayer to the Father. And Mark even uses the Aramaic word, not Father, but Abba. Abba, take this cup away from me. It's like Abba, it means Daddy. It's so intimate. Daddy, don't let them hurt me. Take this cup away, but not my will, your will be done. So how else will we know that he said this unless this young man heard it all and recorded it all? And you're right, he was the secretary of St. Peter as well as a companion of Paul. So he has his own information. He has the theology of Peter. He has the theology of Paul. And he writes his own gospel. And it's amazing because he doesn't end the gospel. And the gospel ends on chapter 16, verse 8, and they were afraid. Now, you'll see the ending post-resurrectional appearances. But that's high Polish Greek that was tacked on. Mark was like the teenager when he was writing, like a teenager on the bus. You know, I like teenagers talk. And, but, then, straightforward, immediately. Mark is racing to the tomb. He's racing to the tomb. And he changes the tradition from an angel being at a tomb to the young man being at the tomb. And Mark is saying that he was at the tomb. That's what he's saying there. But not so much physically at the resurrection itself, but in experiencing the risen Christ, as we all should be doing in our own hearts. That's what it's all about, Easter. It's all personal, that he died for me in a personal way, and that Jesus is going to save me in a personal way. He rises from the dead in a personal way to come to me in his resurrection. So where he goes, I go. I'm baptized into his death, his resurrection, and his eternal life. I mean, it's so beautiful. But how he ends the gospel, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Who would want to end a gospel like that? So everybody, you know, they're thinking, well, Mark was martyred. He didn't have time to finish it. Or it was an old manuscript. The ending really fell off. Did really Mark mean to end it where he did? And I believe he did. You know, those eight verses are so powerful. You know, Mary Magdalene, the young man at the tomb, you know, when entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe. The same young man, the same Greek word that he used in the agony in the garden. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed," the young man says, "you seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He's been raised. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, as he told you." You know, and then in the end, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, here's the point, Ken. They're going to see him in Galilee, but they're seeing him all the time in Jerusalem. They're seeing him there, you know, in the room, on the Emmaus walk. They're experiencing his presence right there, give me something to eat. But they're always, but Mark is talking something differently here. Mark is talking about his own experience of the risen Christ in his own heart. And he's talking about the Galilee of the heart. It's not geographical. It's the Galilee of the heart. And when we go to confession, we confess our sins, and we repent, and we change from our sinfulness, and we go to communion, we are meeting the risen Christ. He's already been crucified for us. He takes away all of our shame, all of our guilt, purifies our hearts. And now we're ready to be in deep communion with him, and that we experience the risen Christ. They're called Christophanies. They're experiences of the risen Christ. And Ken, you know, all the time that we start our Calyx meetings, we talk about our odd or God experience, the aha moments, the moments of truth where we experience Christ, Jesus, the risen Lord. And our hearts are burning within us, just like the walk to Emmaus, which is a very beautiful walk. But when you look at that walk to Emmaus that we celebrated last week, the Emmaus walk, and the gospel last week, it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the resurrection and the risen Christ. Mark races all the way to the tomb, to the empty tomb. And here in the Emmaus walk, Jesus walking down, they don't recognize him. They're asking questions, and he begins to explain to them everything about himself that's fulfillment in the scriptures. He talks about Moses, how Moses talked about the Messiah and Abraham and the prophets all. And this is all being fulfilled. And he interprets it all for them. So here you have the liturgy of the word. You have the scripture. Then you have the homily. And then they think they're going farther. And they say, stay with us, because their hearts are burning within them for this stranger, whoever he is. They don't know yet. And Jesus, I really believe, didn't want them to recognize him at this point, because he wanted them to recognize when he takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. It's the same Eucharistic language that he used at the Last Supper, that he used at the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. It's all pointing to the breaking of the bread. And that's where they recognize him. It wasn't called the Mass back there. It was called the breaking of the bread. So we have the elevation of the Mass, where we hold up Jesus Christ crucified to the Father, which is going on in all of our hearts every day, perpetual for all the whole world to the end of the world. The Father receives this great sacrifice in a personal way for me and for you and for all our listeners, and takes our shame and guilt and forgives us all our sins, purifies our hearts. All we need to do, repent, change, and now I'm ready to receive the Lord in Holy Communion. There's the breaking of the bread, the death. Satan is conquered. He's bounded up. And then here comes the Lord in Holy Communion, the highlight of the Mass, the climax of the Mass, that I receive God in my heart, and God receives me. And when I receive God, you know, in this love affair, this will of God to be one with him, everything he has is mine. I'm a king in the kingdom of God. It's so beautiful when you really ponder these scriptures, these words, and how personal they all are. I just want to go to the beginning of Mark. That was the end of Mark. When you go to the beginning of Mark, In chapter 1, verse 15, it's like, I always like to hear the first words of Jesus in the gospel, because that's what's important. It's always the first words, the last words. They emphasize the truths there in the beginning and especially at the end. So here's the mystery of Jesus, where he comes on the scene, the beginning of the Galilean ministry. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment, he says. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Repent. Second emphasis is mine. And believe in the gospel. Be faithful to the gospel of the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. It's empty. He's with you. He's with me. He's empowering us with his Holy Spirit to talk these truths through our radio waves, to touch the hearts of people, especially our elderly who really tune into this station, Ken, who are coming closer to meeting the risen Christ and seeing him, who's going to take them and us someday to that, through those pearly gates, to that place he has prepared for us, to be at the right hand of the Father where Jesus is. And think of those words there of John 14. You know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm coming back to you. And I'm taking you with me so that where I am, you also may be. Where is he? We say it in our creed. We say it in the Gloria. He's at the right hand of the Father. That's where we're going to be, that close, because we're God's children. Not pew 57 looking up at the beatific vision, but right there with our God who created us for himself. And his heart is restless until we come home and rest in him. Ken, this whole story of Mark and this gospel, how he races to the empty tomb, and how he really tells us in these beautiful first words, it's the time of fulfillment. Get into the present moment. The kingdom's at hand. When Jesus said that, I could see his hand swooping across all the people, all the listeners. The kingdom's at hand. Well, this bottle of water's at hand, but I can turn my back on it. But I can have that water if I want it, because it's at hand. But I must repent. And let go of this worldliness, this sinfulness. Repent, change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And then believe, and that's an action word. Be faithful to the gospel. Put it in practice. Do what he tells us. Listen to him. And we have glory. And we are Easter people. And we will experience this Easter joy, this Easter peace, this Easter love that the world can't give us or take away from us, Ken.
Amen. And speaking of Easter joy, before we go further on Mark, I want to get Frank. Hello, Frank.
Yes.
How you doing, pal? You're on the air.
Alexa, mute. Sorry, a little delay there.
Yeah, no problem.
I just wanted to say I missed you last week, and it was a repeat.
Yeah.
But Alexa, mute. Sorry. Sorry. I just want to say hi to Father Doug and Ken, and I've been up since 2 o'clock, but I forgot it was Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Captain Lou gave me a call. Remind me. So I just want to say hi. I'm doing good. Hope you guys are doing great. And keep passing the word on everyone, as much people as you can. I appreciate it.
Nah, thanks, Frank. Good to hear your voice, pal. We had some stuff come up last Wednesday. Father's been ill, feeling well enough to do the show from home today. But some other things prevented us from being on the air last week. But, yeah, back in the saddle again. Good to hear your voice. I don't know if you can hear when I said I was going to you. You know, that Easter joy, it's great to hear the joy in your voice, and continue to wish you a happy Easter in this Easter season.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. I know Father Doug was sick, and I was hoping it wasn't, but I'll be praying for you, Father Doug. I'm glad you're on the radio today.
Good, Frank. My body's sick, but my soul is well.
Yeah. Well, but, Captain Lou's probably listening. If he's not, I won't give him a call. Let him know to pray for you.
Yeah, I hope he is listening. He's always in my heart, Captain Lou, and he's always in my prayers.
And everyone listening to Father Doug and Cameron, now say prayers for Father Doug.
Good. Thanks, Frank.
Appreciate it, pal. Good to hear from you.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks again.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, what a difference in Frank's voice over the years. God is good. Absolutely.
All the time.
You know? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So,
yeah,
But, talking about Mark's gospel. It's also working on a talk. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show. The retreat that Malvern asked me to do is going to happen next weekend, not this coming weekend, the following weekend, May 5th to the 7th. It's a women's retreat, serenity retreat. So most, if not all, the women will be in recovery. But there's still plenty of room if anybody would like to make that retreat. And in preparation for one of the talks, I'm using part of Mark's gospel in its the 12th chapter, verses 28 to 34, where he's being quizzed about the greatest commandments, and basically boils down to letting us know what God's will is, and that's that we love, that we start by loving God, and that should translate into loving our neighbor and everybody else that we come into contact with. And Mark puts it real succinct in those few verses. And if that's all we had in all the gospels were those verses, it would be enough to live our lives by. And I know in my own life that there was a lot of time where that wasn't happening, and it was all about me and what I thought I needed or wanted or was going to bring me satisfaction and happiness. And when we sit back and listen and learn and try to absorb what Jesus, and this is directly from Jesus, that we're being taught that it is that love. And Mark, in a succinct way, I think all throughout his gospel, is driving towards Jesus as the Messiah, but as the crucified Messiah, and that it's through that greatest act of love that's ever happened, a man completely innocent, willing to give up his life, and not just be murdered, but tortured and hung on a cross out of love for us. There is no greater example that I'm aware of. And you have to come away from that hopefully realizing how much each one of us is loved, if God was willing to do that for each and every one of us. And hopefully that translates into our own love, love of self, love of God, love of neighbor. And we got here a little bit early today and chatting with Maureen and Patrick, and it's interesting on Wednesday afternoons when we get that little block of time and talk about current events, and there's so much lack of love in the world today, and it just seems to be engineered that way. And people seemingly wanting us to love everybody and anybody, but in doing so actually cause, I think, the reverse to happen. Those who that they want to have conformed to the way things, the way they want things to be, they're trying to point out our lack of love. And at the same time, it generates a whole lack of love on behalf of the people that already support it, because they don't think that we support these crazy notions. And so it just seems to get more divided day by day. But I think the good news is that there's enough of us, and even if we're the silent majority, that are God-fearing, faith-having individuals, that will continue to love regardless of what's put in front of us. And to do that's not always easy, but it's the instructions that we get from Jesus. And if Jesus could do it, and he gives us the grace to do it, then there's no reason why we can't. And so to try to face everybody that we encounter day in and day out. Father Shea talked about that last night in his homily, about just being kind. And sometimes it's so much easier to be kind than it is to frown and be angry. All it does is get us worked up and tear us down, eat us up. And for what? At the end of the day, sometimes you ask people what they're mad at and they can't even explain it. You ask them why they're happy, they can explain it. They knew the root of that happiness, and that root is God.
Yeah, Ken, just listening to Mark 12, That's a powerful section there that Mark writes about. It's right again from the beginning about repentance. But the greatest commandment, you know, it was a scribe who came up to Jesus. Hmm. Scribes, you know, they study all the laws. I mean, what's it, 900 laws, 600 precepts, you know, all these laws and things. He just said, Lord, what is the first commandment? You know, at least I know I can keep in that one. And then he said, well, hear, O Israel, Hashema, the Lord is our God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's, Ken, we forget that self. I always put myself third a lot of times. I'd unlearn that, you know. God first, my neighbor second, and I'm third. No, it's your second. I'm second. I have to love myself first before I can love. I got to take care of me before I can take care of anybody else. So it's love your neighbor as yourself. It's already implying that you're already loving yourself so that you can love your neighbor. But there's more to it. The scribe says, well, well said, teacher. You're right in saying there's no other than he. And to love God with all your heart. You know, it's the great commandment, sacrifice. And Jesus saw him answer correctly, and he said this, Ken, and always remember this, it's always touched my heart. He says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You see, this scribe knows it, but Jesus is saying, you're still not in the kingdom because you're not repentant. You're not doing it. You're not loving your neighbor. You're not loving yourself. So you know it, but now you have to do it, and then you'll be in the kingdom of God. Repent. Change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Turn away from sin, turn to grace. Turn away from Satan's reign, turn into the kingdom of God. Turn out of darkness into the light. Out of Satan's face into God's face. You know. So knowing something is not necessarily meaning that, you know, I got it. You know, I knew to smoke cigarettes was bad for me. I smoked for years. That knowledge didn't do me any good until I stopped smoking. And this is what Jesus is saying to the scribe, you know. Well said, and when Jesus saw that, he answered with understanding. He said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. So knowing the commandments, because Satan knows the commandments, knowing the scriptures, because Satan knows the scriptures better than we do, is not making us holy. But doing it, keeping the commandments, loving our neighbor, loving ourselves. That, you know, when we're to love the sinner, despise the sin. I despise, and I don't even like the word hate. They used to hate the sin. As soon as you hate anything, you're right with Satan. He's the father of hate. You know, you love the sinner, despise the sin. Just turn away from it. Repent. Turn to God. And, you know, to metanoia, it's like, I turn from sin, but I have to turn to something else. There's the grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. The grace is always there. I mentioned this a few times to so many people. I heard this maybe a couple months ago. Holiness is not that we're not tempted or pulled in a dark, sinful area, but holiness is, as I'm being pulled, I'm holding on to his hand. I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm looking at him, and I'm despising the sin. And I'm loving myself by looking at Jesus and knowing who I am. So that whole thing, you really hit a good chapter there, Ken, on chapter 12 with Mark. Yeah. And, love God your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love. And what is love, Ken? We talked about this last night, I believe. It's doing the will of the beloved. So we do God's will, then we love him. I have to keep his commandments, do what he tells me, listen to him. Now I'm loving him. He's loving me. I'm in the kingdom. There's joy. There's peace. I know who I am. No one can hurt me, not a hair on my head. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I know where I belong. With all my loved ones, in those verdant pastures, beside restful waters, where the cups are overflowing. Amen, Ken.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, that takes us right to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls to do it. Phone numbers 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. 8-4. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. If you haven't visited our website recently, please visit inhissign.com and check it out. We try to keep the podcast page updated. If you go to click on content and then podcast, you can listen to recordings of shows you may have missed or the really good ones that you want to re-listen to. We also have a Facebook page for In His Sign Catholic Radio. Go out and like it. Maureen keeps it updated daily with current events, current celebrations and feast days and what have you, and what's going on here at In His Sign. And we'd like to keep you up to date on what's going on with the Calix Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's where Father McKay and I get together. Most Tuesdays we are in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, where we begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calix meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour beginning at 6 and then Mass at 7 o'clock in May. That'll be on Tuesday, May the 16th. A great day to come down, check out the Matt Talbot Shrine, join with us in prayer during the Holy Hour, and then celebrate Mass with us. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, May the 4th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and the Calix meeting to follow. They will meet again on Saturday, May the 13th. My home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, we get together on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And our meeting in May will be on Saturday, May the 20th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet this coming Saturday, April the 29th. We also have a unit in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, and they gather every Wednesday. That'll be this evening for 6:15 p.m. Mass at St. Matthew's, followed by a Calyx meeting immediately following. All right, in the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma, and we'll be talking about all things related to the gift of the divine will. You'll want to stick around for that as well. We got one caller on the line. Father, we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello. Hello, Ken. How are you?
All the way from Fruitland, Florida. How are you, brother?
All the way, all the way. All right. Let me tell you my odd but God.
Okay.
Down here, the internet service is horrific. It's so bad, you would think that computers are made out of wood. See? I dropped AT&T. I picked up T-Mobile. They were terrible. I got Verizon. Well, my phone works, but I found out Verizon Fios isn't in my neighborhood right now. I have no internet service whatsoever.
Uh-oh.
So that's the important part. I have no internet service whatsoever. Here's the God part. I'm listening to your broadcast today on the internet. How is that working? I'm not tapping into my neighbor's hotspot or somebody else's Wi-Fi. I have no internet, but I'm listening to you on the internet. How is that possible? How is that possible? Happening.
You're connected
right now.
You're connected somewhere somehow. I don't know.
It's God's antenna.
There you go.
Yeah, really, really. It's weird. It's completely and totally weird. But yesterday, I had an odd but Bob incident. I attended the 8 a.m. Mass in honor of St. Mark the Evangelist at St. Mark the Evangelist Church in Summerfield, Florida. The reason it's an odd but Bob is Bob planned it a week in advance and drove 20 miles to be at St. Mark the Evangelist Church.
And did they do anything special for the Feast of St. Mark?
When people came in, they gave everybody coming through the door a cellophane-wrapped cupcake. They said, this is St. Mark's birthday cake. You know, they said, take it home, put a candle in it, and you know, celebrate St. Mark's Day. They had a beautiful portrait, freshly painted. You could tell somebody had just done it, of St. Mark as a rugged, strong young man, you know, and that's the way he would have to be, you know, instead of these 90-year-old apostles you always see painted, you know. So, and the priest, the pastor, he's Italian, and he had his friend from Rome. He flew his friend from Rome in for a week for the feast, you know. So, yeah, it was nice. It was very nice.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. We miss you on Tuesdays, pal.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'll tell you, I can't get the internet to work for anything. When your program is over, I guarantee you the internet will disappear.
Well, God or God.
Yeah. Really.
Very good.
Take care, guys.
All right. Thanks, good to
Bob.
Hear.
Yeah, we miss you, Bob. We miss all your treats, too.
I wasn't going to say that.
You know, we have Wawa down here in Florida. They have tasty cake in the Wawa.
Huh.
They have. I went to a Super Bowl party at the Villages with a guy from Philadelphia, and we didn't have to do anything special because Wawa had everything. They had the soft pretzels. They had the tasty cake. They had the peanut chews, you know. So it was crazy, yeah.
Damn.
But this internet thing is baffling me. It's really baffling me. So, but it's funny. If I didn't know Father Doug, it would be baffling me. But I understand why it's happening because it is odd, but God.
Amen. All right, pal. Good to hear you.
All right, guys.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Be good.
Yes. Yep, I will. Bye-bye.
All right.
Now he is missed.
Yeah. But, you know, a quick one that I shared last night, last Wednesday night, there was the meeting that we had out at Malvern, and because of circumstances with the radio, I got out there a little bit early and went to Our Lady's Chapel and was just praying a rosary, and being a Wednesday, was praying the Glorious Mysteries. And praying the third mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And I glanced to my left, and there's a stained glass window there depicting the Pentecost scene. And what was what drew my attention first was not the idea that it was the Pentecost scene, was the flames that were above the apostles' head actually looked like drops of blood. And I'm looking at it, trying to figure out what it is, and it took me a second as I'm praying my Hail Marys and realized, hey, this is the mystery that I'm contemplating as I'm sitting here praying the rosary.
Yeah.
And, looked around the chapel a little bit more, and they have a couple of the other mysteries. And a lot of the older churches, when you go in, St. Gabriel's included, not the stained glass, but the portraits that are there, a lot of them will have those images from the mysteries of the rosary, which I find to be great when you're praying the rosary and giving you something to contemplate. It helps remove some of the distractions, and you may see something in those images that you hadn't thought about prior to that. So, Otter God.
Yeah, really, Kent. The rosary is such a gift. It's really, it centers us in the mysteries in Jesus's heart, and then go right into infused prayer. You know, let them infuse us and bless us, whatever. You know, real sanctity is about more about receiving than doing. We got to first receive the grace before we can do anything. Apart from Him, we can do absolutely nothing. But a special place, Malvern. You know, always feel peaceful out there. You know, sacred grounds, Ken.
Yeah.
So many conversion stories too that you hear about the retreatants coming out there and being touched and going home, being better fathers, being better even mothers and better children, better, co-workers and all. But yeah, special place, retreat houses, especially St. Joseph's in the hills.
Yeah, and it's, that's where my whole journey really started, was with that first retreat that I made back in 1993, and I'll never forget it as long as I have some of these little gray cells left in my head and my brain, as long as I can remember it. But it's kind of interesting to look now that it's almost come full circle, where the retreatant is becoming the retreat director. I just thought of that as you were saying that. Here I was 30 years ago knowing very little at all about the faith other than what I had learned in school, and never really having a relationship with Christ. And, being set on fire at that retreat, starting to pray the rosary, and just led to one thing after another. We could spend 3 days talking about it. But, just realizing, I kept thinking that this retreat that they had asked me to direct next weekend was going to get canceled. And despite lower numbers than what they usually require, they're going to have it anyway, which I think is a good thing. And here I get to go back, and hopefully, God sets some of these folks on fire. And the cool part is I get to be a part of that, because it's going to come from Him, hopefully through me, to them. And who knows where that'll lead down the road. So, couldn't agree more that Malvern's a place you need to be at least once a year. I tend to get out there a few times a year, and it really is a place to commune with God, commune with nature, and really come to terms with what's really important in life. That said, we got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Hi, Father Doug. How are you?
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
I'm too blessed to be stressed by the best.
Pardon?
I'm too blessed by the best to be stressed.
Good stuff. Yeah. Turns out, I didn't make yesterday, although I was intending to.
We know. We called your name with the roll book, and you weren't there. We marked you absent. Two more, and you got to go to summer school.
Well, this might be part of the odd with God, because, I got the firm... The firm tickets for the Phillies game became available, and I got a few and took my wife and some friends to the game. And turns out when we got home, my wife said that, that game was exactly what she needed, because yesterday she just found out that her best friend of 25 years was diagnosed with lung cancer. Not lung cancer, but breast cancer. So, she was quite upset. So So I think I needed to be at that game, or she needed to be at that game, and that's where the tickets came through. But that's not why I was calling. Why I was calling was, you mentioned about the power of Malvern Treehouse and its ability to change lives. And I was out there for the Matt Talbert retreat this past weekend, and I heard this truly incredible story, a powerful story, not incredible. I mean, we come to expect these things. But there was a young gentleman, and I saw him. He was there last year at the retreat, and I saw him again this year. And when I saw him last year, he was very troubled. And it looked like he, troubled in the sense that, he looked like a guy that was kind of brand new into the program, maybe a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, but that's it. So when I saw him this past weekend, I saw him and said, "Hey, it's good to see you still around." I said, what do you have? Probably, about 13, 14 months now? And he says, "Oh, no, actually, I got 3 years. I said, "Oh, really?" I said, I'm surprised. I guess I was just, basing that on your behavior when I saw you last year. You struck me as somebody who was really not in trouble, but was disturbed. And he said, "Well, in fact, I was." He says, "It's just 2 years coming around, not really happy in the program, not really happy sobriety. No relationship really with God." And he said, I went into, I came on the retreat, and before I came on the retreat, as I was with my wife, said, "If you leave to go on this retreat, me and the kids aren't going to be here when you get back." So he, he still decided to go. And when he went to the retreat, it came time for adoration. He said, I thought this was going to be a complete waste of time. He said, I walked into the adoration room and I, said a short prayer, and I was just going to put my head down and for 14 minutes and just basically think and do nothing. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and, he felt an energy, and all of a sudden, he felt the answers to the problems that he was facing in his life. And he said he was so moved by it that immediately when he got home from retreat that day, he and his wife sat down for 2 hours, and they talked about their problems in their relationship for the first time maybe ever. And it was totally, and he says, since then, it's been a totally transformation in his marriage, his life, and his desire and enjoyment of sobriety and his commitment to his sobriety. And he traces it all back to that moment in adoration, when he walked in there, thinking that this was only going to be a waste of time. The good Lord, intervened and showed his grace and changed this young man's life. So I thought it was a powerful story, and I just wanted to share that with you and with your audience.
Nah, I appreciate it, Matt. And it just, when you least expect it, it's amazing the way, how God operates sometimes. And the beauty of it is that he was willing to share that story with you. And, in doing so, that's what inspires us to keep, putting one foot in front of the other and bringing people to Malvern and trying to introduce them to the retreat experience. Because that God wants this for everybody. If he's done it for us, he wants to do it for everybody. But we have to make ourselves available to him. Right, Father?
Right. That's a powerful story, Matt. And I was just thinking about Matthew Kelly's holy moments, where he shares that story with you. He touches your heart, sets you afire. You call in. You share the story with us. It touches our hearts. We're set on fire with the Eucharist presence. That's really Jesus. And all the people that are listening. And the people who are listening are probably going to tell that story again and again. And those ripple effects, you know, how the Lord is so beautiful to us all. And something you said too, Ken, that, you know, about the retreat that you're going with the women and all, that set fires, you know. First, he sets a fire in us. And I always say, you know, I've had so many powerful experiences at Malvern, Otter God, you know, mystical experiences, especially in adoration, that one-on-one with his Eucharistic presence. I mean, you talk about fire. You become like a firebug or a fire maniac, you know. But really, I mean, it's the Lord touching our hearts, Otter God, setting our hearts on fire, and then we witness to him, and we share other and people. We might not always see what's happening to other people. That's up to the Holy Spirit and to the individuals. But beautiful things are happening, just like that young man. Something happened to him, and he was able to share that, and that story is being shared again and again and again. What a beautiful God we have. You know, he lets us know it's divine presence, that he's alive. He's risen. The tomb's empty. He's with us always, just as he promised. Thank you for sharing that, Matt.
Yeah, just one other comment, Ken. You mentioned that, you know, it was great, that it was wonderful that he was willing to share it. I had to pull it out of him.
Ah.
I don't like talking about this, you know. And I was like, you know, no, please tell me more. And, you know, I was questioning him and using my cross-examination skills.
Uh-oh,
and
the lawyer.
God, I'm talking about, I said, man, you need to share this story. This is a story that's profound, and it shows how God is working in your life. And maybe that will open it up, you know, open other people to the potential that and the idea that God can work in their lives as well. So, you know, I just thought that was interesting.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, what you were saying, Matt, you had to pull it out of him. And it was like, we don't do anything good. It was like Jesus, the risen Lord, pulled it out of him through you. He touched your heart. But again, it's that sign, that Christophany, you know, that presence of the risen Lord, who's always there with us, because nothing good happens unless he's there for us. You know, we don't manufacture anything that's good. We think we are. You know, it's nothing but pride. But God is good. Only God is good. And he shares his goodness with us. And boy, I see his goodness coming through you all the time, Matt. So keep up your good work. Let the light of Christ shine through you again and again. Keep using those cross-examinations and draw the goodness out of God's people. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much, Father. Love you.
Love you
too, Ken.
All right, you too, brother. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy your your trip to Rome.
We'll get back from Vatican.
Okay. All right, be good.
See you later.
All right, take
care. Hey, Matt. If you happen to see the Pope and he says, how's Father Douglas McKay doing? Just say, oh, he's busy. All right?
I will. I'll put in a good word with the boss for you.
All right.
Take care, fellas. All right, you too. All right, and we got another caller on the line. We're going to go to Michael. Oh, Michael's gone. Michael, if you're listening, call back. The line's freed up. We only got about 5 minutes left here. Oh, that could be him. You have an Otter God, Father?
I got more stuff on Mark, but maybe wait for Michael because might need a little more time.
Yeah, it could be the 5 o'clock guest as well. So,
anyway, I can maybe end with a story.
Line two, we got him. Is this Michael?
It is, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hello, Father. How are you?
Good, Michael.
We just got just a few minutes left. Sorry about that, Michael.
I'm sure you had a better day. Hey, listen, I was just thinking about Malvern, and a friend of mine, you know, Robert Daly, has cancer, and he met Pat Daly, and he said he was talking to Patrick Kennedy, and I was telling him, and he was telling me how good he's doing, and things are turning around for him, a lot of the cancer is gone and stuff like that. And you know, so I've been praying for him to Matt Talbot, and I keep telling him, like, you might be the miracle that we're looking for, you know. And so, you know, I kept hearing about Matt Talbot, so I just had to call in. And you know, plus I wanted to say hi to Father. He didn't sound too good, and you know, you guys have been going through a lot, so I just wanted to touch base. But that's what you know, came to my mind when Robert Daly, like, and I don't know, I think things are going to be happening for him, so keep him in your prayers, everybody. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he's been over here, and I've anointed him and prayed over him. We said the prayers together with Matt Talbot. So he's been calling me. He's all excited, you know. So thank you for mentioning that. And I think he might possibly be a miracle for Matt Talbot. And we've been praying for little Luke, Brendan Tohill, too, as well, you know, for his miraculous healing. And God's out there working, you know. I can't tell you how many people I come across with cancer and give them a miraculous medal and say prayers over them, and cancer's gone. You know,
Amen.
It's the risen Lord. He's with us always. The
Amen.
Great healer, the redeemer. He lets us know about his presence because of his deep love for each and every one of us. But thank you, Colin, Amen. Michael. I was thinking about the time at Malvern when I brought you guys out. You were all teenagers at the time. Remember that day?
I do.
That weekend.
Maybe it keeps it green for me. Thank God.
Yeah,
I'm glad I got.
I was only in seminary then, rounding you guys up on the corner, but that was your first experience. I know you guys still talk about it.
Oh, no doubt.
But, and Malvern's a special place, a blessing. Like Ken said, you know, fires start there, and a lot of conversion stories come out of there, because the Lord is all over St. Joseph's in the Hills.
Well, I think that helped.
To hear
my
from
conversion.
You, Michael. God bless you.
All right, guys. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you later.
All righty. Take care, Michael.
All right, take care.
Talk
I
soon.
Can, so.
See you. All right, Father. You got 2 minutes here to wrap up St. Mark and take us out with a prayer.
Yeah. Well, here's the story. I always like this. It's an Easter story. It's a passion story about the resurrection. And the little boy comes running home. He's all excited. He says, Mom, I'm in the passion play. I'm in the passion play. And I play the most important part. She said, oh, you play Jesus? No, I don't play Jesus. Well, who do you play? I play the rock. Oh, you play St. Peter? No, Mom, I play the rock. What do you mean the rock? You know that big boulder in front of the tomb of Jesus? That big rock in front of it? I play that part. And she said, well, what's so important about that big round rock? Well, Mom, Jesus can't come out until I roll out of the way. And there's that repentance again, Ken. Jesus can't come out of us until we repent, roll out of the way, turn away from our sinfulness, the darkness, turn away from our vulgarities and profanities, or cheating, or lying, or stealing, or impurities. Get it all out of us, and Jesus will come through us and shine his light to this dark world of ours. And he needs our witnesses, and that we can be witnesses of gospel joy and peace, and of his risen life, his resurrection, his new life that's always with us, Ken, till the end of the world.
Amen.
Got any more time, or should I end with a prayer?
Got about 40 seconds before, if you got a short prayer, it all depends. You got a total of about a minute.
Okay, well, there's one story with St. Augustine. I like this story.
Yeah.
St. Augustine is walking through the marketplace, and his old mistress is following after him. And she's hollering out, Augustine, Augustine. And Augustine turns his head a little bit and sees the mistress. He runs walks a little faster. She walks faster. Augustine, it's I. And he walks faster and she walks faster. Finally, the old mistress catches up to him and says, Augustine, it is I. And Augustine turns around so slightly, looks at her and says, but it's no longer I. It's no longer I. There it is, Ken. You know, it's like St. Paul. I no longer live I. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, lives in me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, our Father, we praise and thank you for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, for giving us your Son, and for staying with your Son and your Holy Spirit, and being one, especially at Mass and Communion when we receive you, Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit. Increase our hearts with that grace that we need to be more faithful to your gospel. Bless all the listeners, all those who are suffering, especially with addictions, who are lonely, who are sick. Bless us all, because we all belong to you, Father. And bless us in the name of the risen Lord, who's always with us till the end of the world. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. Our guests in the 5 o'clock hour are already on the line. We're going to be joined by Peter DePalma and Father B. Thomas Celso. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.